Alloway Parks Recreation and Forestry Committee meeting Tuesday, October 27th, 2020. It is 5:32 p.m.
All right, I will call this meeting to order and we'll start with roll call. Dan Fox.
Here.
Dina Mooney here. Danielle Pierke.
Here.
Rob Atwood.
Here.
Michael Borowski.
Here.
Heather Gentry Nimmer.
Not present.
And Angela Kowalczyk Adrian.
And Angie said she will be joining us a little bit late, about 5 or 10 minutes.
The agenda, item number 2. Does anybody have any modifications to the agenda? If not, I'll take a motion to adopt.
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? All right. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Did I say the agenda? Okay.
You're right.
Number 3. Okay. approval of the September 30th, 2020 minutes. Any changes anybody would like to make? If not, I'll take a motion to adopt.
Move to adopt.
Is there a second? Was there a second?
Second.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion on the minutes? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Okay, so the minutes are adopted. Public appearances. Anybody here?
No.
Anybody call?
And I did not receive any emails or calls or anything.
Okay. Item 5, information, the Alloway Community Center update.
Yes, last meeting, Dina wanted a quick update on the Alloway Community Center. The community center was sold to Bartolozzi Realty, and in conjunction with his brother, he owns Bartolozzi Homes. So they'll be taking ownership of that. They plan on closing at the end of November, and they did the sale cost of that was the appraised value of $210,000. The village is still using it for elections next week, and then we pretty much moved out, have a few last items to get out of there, and then they'll be taking over ownership at the end of the month.
Thank you. I posed the same question to Trevor for Historic Preservation Commission.
He mentioned that to me today.
Any questions, comments on that? Okay, next B, drive-through trick-or-treat event.
I will let Matt take this item since it was his brainchild. Great idea, and I'll let him explain it a little more.
So the trick-or-treat event is tomorrow. It's going to be taking place at Broadview Soccer Complex. What we have set up is basically first 200 people are going to be able to drive in to the soccer complex, pick up a pre-made treat bag, and then they'll drive out exiting on Libel there. All the treat bags are made. Took a while to make them, but they're all pretty great, filled with lots of great things. From the Green Bay Packers, Zesty's, a number of businesses here in Alloway, but then also in the Green Bay area. We posted it on Facebook a couple weeks ago, and we've had a lot of people clicking that they're interested in it. I think it's going to be a really great event. We have a few volunteers that are going to help out to make the event run as smoothly as we can. It's the first year event that we're doing it, so I guess we'll kind of see how it all works out and functions, but I think we're set up to make it work really well.
Yeah.
Angie did send me an email this week, or maybe it was last week, that she wanted to just suggest something. In case she wasn't here for this item, she wanted me to share it. But she did say that with free events in the future, she was wondering about pre-registration or limiting to Alloway residents, because she had noticed that on Facebook there were over 700 shares. So her concern was the number of people that might show up at the event. You know, our thought was this is first year of an event like this, and we'll just have to see how it goes and take that into consideration possibly if we need to adjust in the future.
Yeah, I kind of figure it out. My one question I had was for the sponsors. What does a sponsorship, what do the sponsors give? What's their contribution?
So this year we didn't really put like a limit on anything. We didn't put a monetary value or anything on it, just because with COVID going on, I didn't want any business to, one, feel like it needed to be a part of it, or two, feel like they couldn't be if they couldn't, you know, meet the monetary amount. So I allowed each individual to kind of make their own decision as to how much they really wanted to be a part of it. We had a number of businesses, groups, Alloway Lions Club for sure, Alloway Optimist Club, Quick Trip put a lot of money towards it. And then there was other individuals who did more in-kind type of donations to be a part of it. So there wasn't really a set fee in order to be a part of it. Again, due to COVID, I didn't want anyone feeling like they needed to meet a certain amount. But in the future, that's definitely something that we can look at as setting a certain amount. And I think that's something that we'll definitely look at doing in the future. It's something that we can pay.
Yeah, I was just curious because it was 200, and that's just not a lot, you know, especially if you've got multiple kids in a car. So I didn't know what they were, you know, is it a bag, are they donated a bag of candy and that's what gets them on the sponsorship, or are they donated $100 or $200?
And it was mixed. Some of them donated a bag of candy. Some of them, like I said, donated in-kind. Zesty's donated 200 free ice cream scoop coupons.
Yeah, that's huge. Yep.
it's things like that. It's all just, it was all dependent on the business and what they were able to give, I guess.
Yeah. I'm really glad that, I mean, personally, as a mom of young children, it's nice to see Alloway doing something like this. So I'm really happy that you took this initiative, because often we're going to other communities to, you know, do Easter egg hunts or, you know, trick or treat events. So it's really nice to see one in Alloway. So thank you very much for doing that. Any other questions or comments? Okay, item C, the 2021 budget update.
Yeah, I just wanted to give the committee a quick update overview of the 2021 budget. We had our budget workshop with the village board, which went very well. I think as well as it could be in the situations that we find ourselves in with regards to revenue and revenue sharing and things like that. But with regards to how that went, the village board, you know, agreed to the budget as it was proposed. The hearing for that budget is November 17th, so that's when it will, you know, be voted on officially. All the capital improvement items that we had planned for are in that proposed budget. So we're looking to be able to do those next year, which is a great thing. And then our operations budget was up slightly from last year. Majority of that was due to insurance and wages. And then one item that we started this year that we kept in the budget was we have a service that we hired to clean a few of the restrooms in the parks. on a daily basis so that they get cleaned 7 days a week during the summer. The one at Optimus Park, Kiwanis Park, and then Green Isle Park. So we kept that in the budget so we can continue that service into next year as well. So, but overall, was a lot of work by staff and village board. You know, had a lot of participation as well. So overall, I think it went very well.
Okay. Any questions, comments? All right. Item six, discussion action on a reciprocity agreement with Bellevue for dance programs.
Sure. This, yeah, that's
sorry.
Fine. That's fine. This is actually an action item that I'd like the committee to make make a recommendation to the village board on this. It's an agreement. We're looking at a partnership with the Village of Bellevue with our dance programs. And I'll let Matt explain it a little more. He's been working on this extensively. And so I'll let him talk about it a little more, and we can answer any questions that might come up.
So in the past, Bellevue and Alloway both have run their own dance programs. They're separate programs. We actually hit a point where our program instructor had left, and actually their program instructor had left as well. Finding dance instructors is not easy. There's not a lot of people out there. But we were able to work together to find someone that we were able to share, both for their programs and ours. And then we started discussions on kind of combining the two dance programs. What we found was they had a smaller group of individuals that were participating. We had a smaller group. And it just made more sense for us to combine our programs into one kind of umbrella program. Gives us more dancers to be a part of the program. Makes the recital a little bit more interesting. Helps us out financially, that if we're able to share participants back and forth. So really what this agreement is, Bellevue's already passed it. What we're looking for is the ability for Village of Bellevue kids to sign up for Alloway dance classes at a resident rate instead of the non-resident rate. So again, in the past, if you weren't a Village of Alloway resident, you would pay non-resident rates. By sharing the dance teacher, by sharing kind of the program, we're looking that Alloway kids will be able to go to Bellevue, sign up with the resident rate, and then vice versa, they would be able to come here to Alloway, sign up for dance programs that we're offering, and be able to pay that resident rate as well.
Rob, you're on mute yet.
You always see that notification come up once you start talking. And then you got six people that say, you're on mute, you're on mute. Matthew, so are we combining the two into one as like a community dance program between Bellevue and Alloway? Or are they still having their dance studio and we're still having ours?
Yes. We're still offering our classes on a specific day. They're still offering their classes on a specific day. We're sharing an instructor. Dance rehearsal, dance recital will be shared. They'll utilize our agreement with Webster to hold their dance recital as a part of ours. So it'll be Bellevue Alloway dance rehearsal, dance recital on whatever day that we pick for that.
So we're sharing instructors.
We're sharing the instructor, right. Any revenue that we receive from the program is still going to be kept the same way that we would. You know, we would keep it. Same thing with Bellevue. If kids sign up in Bellevue, their revenue goes to the Village of Bellevue. Hopefully that makes sense.
It all makes sense. Let's just make sure that kids have an opportunity to dance.
Exactly.
Matt, were there different days that Bellevue was running their program and Alloway was running theirs?
Yeah, in the past, typically we've kind of run, we both have run Tuesday, Thursday classes. But what we were finding was is by having so many classes available, we were canceling a lot of classes, moving kids around. So what we settled on is Bellevue's going to focus on doing Tuesday classes, and they're doing specific types of dance, versus Alloway, we're going to run Thursday classes, and then we're doing different a different type of dance. So all those options are out there for people to sign up for. They're just picking whether they want to do it in Bellevue on Tuesdays or on Thursdays with, you know, the Village of Bellevue, essentially.
Got it. Thank you.
I think this is a great solution. I like the idea of shared and the versatility, and we're all in this together. I love it. It's awesome. Nice job.
Good. Yeah, this is kind of the beginning. Well, I shouldn't say that. We've partnered with other communities on other types of programs or trips and things like that. But, you know, these are the types of things that we're going to continue to work with our neighbors and our, you know, the other communities around on various types of programs or trips.
Where is the instruction held for each?
Bellevue is held at the Bellevue Community Center, which is on Alloway Avenue.
Yeah, okay.
Because we don't have a community center, we're going to be holding ours at Green Isle right now. That's the plan. I have it scheduled out where it shouldn't have an issue with anything, you know, else that we have going on. So.
Okay. Thank you. If there's no other discussion, I'll take a motion to approve the partnership.
Sorry, Dina, I didn't mean to talk over you there.
Oh, I didn't notice. I was busy talking. Did you have a question, Dan, or were you making a motion?
I was making the motion.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. Any other discussion? Okay, all those in favor of the Youth Dance Partnership, say aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. Okay, I guess it's approved, so thank
Great.
You.
Thank you.
I'm glad you can go Footloose route and just band dancing and music all together, so...
Dan. Oh, that's funny. I don't know if Matt knows what Footloose is. He's younger.
I know what Footloose okay. is. They actually remade it not that long ago.
And they shunt up. We should have just kept the original. Item number 7, discussion, update to the comprehensive outdoor recreation plan.
Yes, a continued item from previous meetings, and I did send out, hopefully everyone got a copy of it, a draft RFP for consulting services. Hopefully everyone got a chance to kind of read through it and kind of take a look at what I've put together. I tried to kind of like the scope of work, I tried to, you know, put in there the different sections that we would look at to need to be updated. As far as looking at some of the items I've got in there that I had questions I wanted to kind of run past the committee, one being the dates of, you know, when we were thinking to release it and the length of time. You know, is 120 days adequate? You know, if we do it in, release it in March and get started at, you know, in May type of time frame after some approvals from meetings, and then giving them through September to do the work, you know, are those okay? As far as another item question that I had was... a comment or an idea came up of committee members assisting. You know, is that still something that we would want to include? And then the fee I've got in there right now is kind of a lump sum fee, but if we do, you know, go through with assistance from committee members, should we look then more at itemized to allow them to, you know, kind of break that down a little bit more. So I guess with that, just I'll try to answer any questions or any thoughts on what we've come up with so far and any further ideas.
If anybody has any comments or questions or suggestions, please chime in.
I have a couple of observations. I think the 120 days is helpful, especially when I start to think about dividing the project into four chunks, gathering information, analyzing what you did, drafting the report document, and then refining it. And so within in between each one of those, there's a chance to check in with the committee, with staff, with the public, whatever. So I like that. You know, I would offer if they need a little more than 120 days because, you know, we're helping in some way, you know, that might not be okay, not be a problem. Or I wouldn't push them to keep 120 days if we're asking them also to collaborate with the committee to gather data. But I like that it's opened up a little bit. I like that it's award season when folks can really see and analyze the ground plane for accessibility. You know, and as far as like how to break down the fee, I think, you know, whether they have suggestions for how the committee can be helpful or we throw out, here's what we're willing to do. I could go either way. You know, I think people are pretty creative. They might have examples from other communities that worked really well or didn't work really well. And then, you know, I think it depends on how committed we are, too. I know I probably threw my hand out offering, but I don't speak for everyone, so I hate to put us in a pickle where, you know, we have day jobs, and it can be hard to carve out that amount of time to
do that extra work too, so respect that. I just want to add my 2 cents real fast. I'm also a full-time student and a full-time worker, and I do this as well for service to my community, so I can't promise that I would be able to commit any time beyond the meetings and the other side conversations to help, just in case everybody's on board. I want you to understand why I'm not.
Yeah, understandable, Dan.
Yeah, thank you, Dan. You will not be punished.
I kind of have to echo Dan as well. Between being trustee, I hold down a couple of jobs, and I'm on the Heritage Hill board, and I just got put on a committee there. I think I would be seeing a divorce lawyer if I started any more committees. I think I'm kidding about the divorce.
Right.
But he looks so serious. So, no. I don't want to get myself stretched so thin. I would certainly let myself be available for opinion, but as far as serving on another committee, I think I got to be careful.
Remember too, that as committee, as a Park and Rec committee, you guys are going to need to take draft documents and review those and make suggestions and things from that end. So you will be, you know, participating in this, but, you know, maybe not able to do anything out in the field, go to the parks, go and, you know, some of the community involvement type of stuff. So, you know, there's still things that you'll need to do as a committee member, kind of behind the scenes or in preparation for a final document.
And
I'm still in from what I said last time. That is, I'm available. I'm retired. I don't have three board positions, but I'll also echo what Danielle said. I did an RFP for healthcare in my previous life. And we had some people that wanted to be involved in it, and we got in the way. I didn't, but at least I didn't admit it. But so I would look for some guidance in terms of what works well with their process as well.
Yeah, I would support what Chris said. You know, the review process for a project like this from the committee level is no small feat. And this is my only board. My day job is doing the work side of it. And it's so important that we as committee members take that role seriously, because too often you get disjointed feedback. And that doesn't help the process, it doesn't help the budget, it doesn't help the project. And so, you know, oftentimes what we're looking for is everybody on the committee, whoever has a say, to have looked at the document, the draft document in full on their own, and come together as a committee and agree on what the collective feedback is, giving the consultant team one holistic red line set. Because if they have to look at every single committee member's information and sort through it all and then talk to Chris and say, hey, Chris, who do I listen to? It's going to take a heck of a lot longer than 120 days and a heck of a lot more than $15,000. And so I get that we all have lots of stuff going on, and so, yes, don't want to overcommit anybody. But then the trade-off is, if they're going to do it all, but it's probably going to at least cost $15,000. I won't be surprised if it's at least that and maybe more.
So what I envision, like with number 10, okay, so the lump sum fee or the itemized to allow community members to help, the lump sum would just be like, they would just state it's going to be $15,000. Or do they state, how do they come up with that $15,000? Is $2,000 in park inventory taking? Is $3,000 in attending meetings, you know,
mm-hmm.
like...
Yeah, is it itemized or broken up? Right.
Because then, at that point, do we look at it and then say, okay, maybe this part, you know, because we're going to be reviewing these RFPs, we could say, okay, well, maybe... we like this plan, or like this consultant, maybe it's more expensive, maybe we can help out doing X, Y, and Z, maybe that'll bring the cost down. You know, it's been a while since I've written an RFP, and we do them for historic preservation from time to time for nominations, but Trevor's doing that, and we use the same one over and over again. So we have a really good base, and I'm trying to think of with his, if it's spelled out too, like for meetings, we, you know, this much, and printing is this much.
My experience has been more from the lump sum end, kind of encompasses the whole project. Once you start to itemize things, there's possibly a fear from the consultant that you are going to pick and choose too much, and then they're not going to... their cost per section would potentially be higher than, if that makes sense. You know, if you pick out too much stuff, they're not going to want to do it for what the remaining cost is.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
You know, in my experience has been more from the lump sum end of things of, you know, this is the cost that it's going to, or this is the price it's going to cost for us to do this project from beginning to end per your scope of work.
Do we have them state what their lump sum is? Do we tell them ahead of time of what our budget is?
No.
And then they just,
no.
Okay.
Yeah. We typically don't release that number because, you know, there's some funny things that could happen if you do that. So no, they present what their costs would be.
But as a consultant, the first thing I do is look at your city budget and say what's budgeted for the project.
Right. As I was just gonna say, I mean, there's a way to look at our
true.
City.
True.
That's the first
true.
Thing.
Public
yep.
record.
Can I afford to do the work for your budget? If not, I don't go. It's a no go.
Yeah. Yeah.
But your point, I think your point's well taken. We start to slice and dice things. It can be nice to see across, even if you don't take pieces out of the budget. It's nice to see sometimes what each consultant is putting in the bucket for each task. So you can kind of compare apples to apples, like, oh, they're putting a lot of effort in the front end, but you're not leaving themselves a lot of effort at the end. So how do we make sure that we get our feedback weighed in and not just all, you know, sometimes that, but then to your point, if you start taking things out, but, you know, the cost to show up on site is the same whether you have a big budget or a small budget. So, you know, overhead is overhead, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It's the extra stuff that you want, you know, you want to get the point of the project across, and that's, you know, where you need a little extra. So, fair point. One other thing I could see our committee meeting, you know, whether our committee meetings become aligned with whatever public engagement meetings occur for this project. You know, if there's a meeting, whatever the date, you know, starts in May, if they have enough information together by late June or July to have a community meeting, you know, maybe our board meeting becomes that meeting. As far as trying to align with folks' availability, but also so that we can hear what people in the public are saying, what they want to see. But also to think about that is, you know, definitely a role we have representing the needs of the community and weighing in on this plan and drafted.
So maybe just going, okay, so the 120 days, that seems reasonable. I'm trying to get back to you, Chris.
Sure.
You're kind of looking for from us. Was there anybody that had any, like, does 120 days seem adequate? Danielle, I guess, what do you think? You thought it was okay, right?
Yeah, I think it's reasonable. Basically gives you a month to visit all the sites, a month to crunch through everything you gathered, a month to draft the report, and a month to refine it. And then between each of those segments, there needs to be a meeting with either staff or the committee, depending on how the project is set up. That's pretty standard.
Yeah, in my world of planning, I do years-long planning projects.
Yeah.
So 120 days seems really short in my mind, but I don't want it to put it out there and they're like, holy cannoli, that's quick.
No. And this is, you know, this is enough for, I think, a city this size. Like, I did a project just like this in a different city in Minnesota, but they have 3,500 acres. They have 35 parks, you know, so it was a much bigger budget. It was a much bigger timeline. It was a different animal. But this is reasonable considering it's not a rewrite, it's an update, and we don't have dozens and dozens of parks. So, you know, we're a first-ring suburb. It's built out, it's, you know, what do we need to amp it up for the next 5 years? How do we do that?
Okay.
Right. As a reminder, our last corp was a rewrite, was an up, and that was 90 days. So
it was a rewrite, and
correct.
It was 90 days.
That is correct.
Okay.
Well, it's safe to say that we have a pretty solid blueprint here going into it. So, I mean, 120 days seems reasonable to me with four committee meetings.
Yeah, okay. So, I guess we'll go with the 120 days, as suggested. The lump sum fee, it seems to be like that's kind of where we're leaning towards. I don't know if anybody... begs to differ.
I'm fine with a lump sum fee.
And Was there anything else you wanted us to talk about, Chris? You don't have anything else in scope of work that's going to pretty much stay the same.
Right. I was just going to ask, did anything pop out that I maybe am missing that anybody might have seen? And then the last, I guess, one of the last questions I had is, thinking of releasing the RFP mid-March, is that a good timeline? That gives us still a few months to make sure we've got all of our ducks in a row and ready to go as well. You know, it's not like we have to be done and ready by January or February.
One thing I would note is if we can provide them any of the information to start.
Sure.
You said that we can, you know, so that what knowing what they're getting handed to them is important, so we don't have to recreate a bunch of stuff. And as far as the schedule, I would offer, I don't remember what the holidays are and what spring break is, but those things always screw up your life. You know, RFPs kind of come out of nowhere anyway, and then it's like, oh, great, it's due the Friday of spring break, and then, you know, Easter or something. So, you know, we can just cross-reference those deadlines with, you know, the social calendar of the world, just so we're not putting ourselves or consultants, you know, in the office on a weekend.
Sure.
I don't think spring break is going to be an issue this year at all, because I think most places have already canceled it. So
fair enough, I forgot.
To try to make up the lost time, so
yeah.
We're going to be losing many masses.
A few of the dates kind of correspond with either committee meetings or village board meetings, too. So they kind of align with that.
I would honestly say if it's ready to go, I don't know what... If it's ready to go for February...
Put it out there.
Sure, and that's not a problem. That's an easy change. You know, if we're ready to go earlier.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think we still, like Danielle had said, still want that working window during the summer months. You know, if we release it too early and move that working window too early, maybe, you know, half of the window that they have to do the work is snow on the ground.
But we're talking about putting the RFP out by the time you get the consultant stuff back, the RFP stuff.
Sure.
We meet to decide. We award a con. I mean, that stuff takes. That's going to be 2-3 months right there.
Yep.
So all I'm saying is, if it's ready, I think we should roll with it. But
okay.
You can definitely see where we're at come, you know, January.
Yeah.
You might have something all set for January,
sure.
So why not get it out there?
Yeah, and that's easy enough to change, and, you know, change a couple of dates, and it's ready to go.
Then you had a question on the final plan?
In the last RFP that I put out, I had asked for a Microsoft Word document so that I would have... For future, I've got all the documents that I can share with the consultant, so they don't have to recreate them, type of thing. So my thought was, again, have them provide those documents to us. I don't know if calling it a Microsoft Word document is correct, but you know, that type of thing, maps, everything that we can have for the future.
Yeah, whatever you need. That's a great idea. Because it's hard to recreate all that
sometimes
stuff.
Sometimes this can be really literal. You know, like, what's on the RFP can be taken really literally because that's all you have. But I think, you know, maybe clarifying that intent. Like, this is a working document. When you're done with it, it's not just printed, you know, and we use it monthly, but we're going to tear it apart and use it for other things.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think just being really clear that it's, you know, Microsoft Word compatible software or whatever you run, you know, that, you know, Excel files should be Excel files and Word should be Word or whatever.
Sure.
and that's, you know, then people know, you know, hey, don't crunch it up so much that it's hard to undo.
Yep.
For you, can it be useful?
Okay. Perfect.
The other item says Parks, Recreation, and Forestry Committee members are available to assist the consultant with various aspects of data gathering or community outreach to minimize fees. Kind of gets back to the... That's just a statement that we are available. Maybe the consultant says, oh, hey, here's something they could do. I don't know.
I could reword that as may be available or something like that, too. I guess I don't know. Or does it need to be in there?
I would suggest rewording it to maybe.
How about if we omit it?
That's another option. Just omit that statement.
Take it out altogether, and if they come back and say, hey, listen, we need some boots on the ground to do this at this fee, then say, okay, negotiable. Let's take a look at it. What do you need? Leave it out.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if we're having, like, community input sessions where maybe we would be, you know, instead of them bringing four staff, we would be, you know, the facilitators or whatever they may need.
Yeah.
That's probably like where we could help.
Another reminder that in the past, my experience has been outside of surveys or anything digital or social media, that public participation isn't real great on these type of things. The in-person aspect, it's not something that we're going to have the meeting room full of, 150 people.
Right.
If we get a half dozen people show up, that's a lot.
Well, it can just be other types of outreach. Like, we've done things where we go to the county fair, okay, and we're, like, soliciting information. It could be similar to they have the car show. Maybe we set something up there.
Sure.
You know, hey, I think Danielle kind of brought this up, too, where we kind of bring it to them knowing they're not going to come to us.
Sure.
And that if there's certain information, like, hey, here's a survey of our parks, you know, you might not live here, but you use our parks. What do you like? What don't you like? I mean,
sure.
If we can help with that, I think there are some of us, and, you know, I would be, you know, able to help with.
Yep.
Just kind of getting to that point where, you know, we are available for some things. If they don't feel like coming on a Saturday in the middle of June for the car show or the Bark in the Park, whatever, you know, we can.
Right, and as a community and as a group, that will only benefit us, you know, to be able to get as much public feedback as we can. Whether the consultant does it or we do it, it only benefits the community by getting a better end product.
So any...
Okay.
With the keeping it in, taking it out, I'm personally I'm okay keeping it in, but if others want to keep it, take it out,
I could go either way. Like Rob said, if the number's too big and we need to shave things down, that's the first thing that'll happen. Is okay. Well, we need the same result. How do we, you know, make it less effort on their part? So I'm okay taking it out as well, but just knowing, you know, we may need to get specific about
it. We'll have it in our back pocket.
Yeah. Well, they're going to know because they're gonna watch our meeting anyway.
That's funny.
Okay, so then I guess we'll take that out. The next one is proposals will be accepted at the office by the parks director until, and he put on there the April 15th
yeah.
date.
And that
can
we can
change.
Correct. We can play with that a little bit depending on when we release this and stuff. So. Okay.
Proposal submittal deadline and project manager. 8 hard copies, 1 electronic copy by.
Yeah, that's that April date again.
April
so,
15th.
Yeah.
So that can be adjusted.
Yep.
And we'll have, if we meet November, which we probably won't, we could, I guess, December, if we do a November joint, November-December meeting. I shouldn't say joint meeting, but
yeah.
Have one meeting between both months. And then, January could, and it gives us 2 more months,
sure.
To,
sure.
2 more opportunities if we're meeting. Is there action? Sorry, I'm jumping on your phone between all of the different documents here. So that was just for a discussion, so that
correct.
Helps you out, right, Chris?
Yes, that's correct.
If anything else comes up, highlight it for the next meeting. If there's other questions you have, then we can hopefully help you out again.
Okay. Any other comments or questions that anybody wanted to have? Great.
Next item, update. Rush Family East River Trail options with river flooding.
Yes, just wanted to give the committee an update. This item, kind of an ongoing item as well. I did meet with the other 4 communities, Ledgeview, De Pere, Bellevue, and Green Bay, and we discussed the issue of the flooding along the East River Trail and, who has what issues, things that they've already discussed or talked about. Looking at the communities that are affected, it sounded like Ledgeview and De Pere really don't have any issues. They occasionally get a little bit of flooding, but nothing major. So more Green Bay, us, and Bellevue, but it's something that we'll continue to discuss and talk about amongst all of us. We are going to look into some potential costs, consulting costs, and whether it's even feasible to go down that route. In discussing this with the other communities, they did think that there would be some high dollar numbers that could come of it, with any solutions, potentially over $1 million. Some other thoughts that were discussed is rather than trying to fight Mother Nature, do you look at things like alternative routing during flooded times, or such as a flood route that you have pre-marked and goes down sidewalks and city streets and things like that, or do you potentially look at bridging or boardwalks, things along that line? So. So we are going to continue to meet, continue to gather information, come up with some tentative costs, before, going out and doing an RFP for a consultant, things like that. We're going to talk with some of the engineers and consulting firms that we know have relationships with and see, if they can get kind of give us that, 10,000 foot kind of look at it. And I know Green Bay is getting some numbers put together of some potential options as well that they're going to share with us. So at this point, I guess there's no solution, but we'll continue to collaborate and work together and try to come up with some options for the different communities down the road.
Hey, Chris?
Yes.
I think on the contrary, I'm not a water management guy. So.
Sure.
Common sense guy. So I do think there are some solutions to it. It's just a matter of starting to lay some ideas down. I don't think De Pere and Ledgeview are out of this by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, I immediately think to myself, when you get out into Ledgeview and you get out towards where, and I'm not trying to be a problem solver right now, I'm just throwing some things out there, is Ledgeview and De Pere are above us. So that water's coming down. So is there a way of maybe having some more retention ponds put upstream, making the stream wider upstream where it can be? You know, if you go out by like Hilly Haven Golf Course, where the East River crosses over there, I mean, it's, you can step across it. Yeah, I mean, it's just that narrow.
Sure.
But it's also very, very deep. So maybe widening that would be a possibility. Take some of the flow off, that when it starts to come down on those peak seasons, that it's got some place to go. There's got to be some sort of water management idea out there that's dealt with this before.
Sure. And kind of the direction you're talking about is more flood mitigation as opposed to, you know, what we do with the trail itself. Is you're looking at your ideas are more with the overall watershed and flooding, which there are actually, there's some groups that are looking at some of that as well.
Okay.
You know, that probably need to be part of the conversation, because that's, you know, a bigger picture thing. That whole overall watershed, and it goes well beyond even us, you know, in the greater Green Bay area here. It goes, you know, way to the southern part of the county. And, you know, then you're talking agriculture and things like that. But, yeah, so, yes, you know, those are possibilities and things that are starting to be investigated, you know, from that watershed and flood mitigation type of perspective.
Sure, and in the short-term solution, you know, bridges over the trouble area, you know, maybe we could just get some local shops, you know, to donate, or some local schools to build it, you know, and just build some bridges that go over from an alleyway standpoint, the half a dozen low spots mm-hmm. that could just help people get over that. And that could just be a great short-term fix. Kind of like the big boulders you put right at behind the tennis court where the trail kept getting washed out.
Yes.
Somebody came in and put those big rocks
yep.
there just to
yep.
kind of try to maintain that. And that's kept some of the water away from there. You know, but as you get closer to, you know, 172, it dips down. So that's always going to get wet there. So unless you build a little bridge over it. Wasn't a problem when the trail was put in. My gosh, you could walk, 25 feet off that trail
sure.
into the river,
yep.
you know, now. But nobody expected that type of water rise. So I just don't think, we could either wait for it to go down or we can be proactive and build, you know, even a bridge would be a temporary solution that when the water receded, we could take it out.
Good idea. Good thoughts.
I like that you're considering a variety of things. I think that alternative routes where we have wiggle room, there's a spur of the trail by my house that, you know, there's kind of a, literally a dog path through the woods where people walk when it's too muddy to take the trail. But then there's other parts, like you said, that are 172 that are always low. I know, you know, from experience that, you know, whether it's donated or not, I mean, a boardwalk, ADA accessible boardwalk, we usually budget $300 a linear foot, so it's still not a cheap solution. And accessibility is still needs to be paramount. So certainly not an easy solution. I'm glad you're talking about it as a region.
Chris, did you ever get a chance to go out and map those spots? Rob asked last time about that.
Yes. I have the locations where we had, you know, the highest water flows. We've got, you know, a little over, I don't know, 6 to 8 little locations, with the largest spot being just south of where the softball diamonds are at Riverview Park, in that section. Actually, kind of a nice coincidence. We received our new air photos for our GIS system this year that were shot earlier this in the spring. And it actually shows all of those high water spots on it. So nice. It's nicely laid out, or we can actually view it in our GIS system. And you can see where all that high water spots are. Because that was, I think they were flown in April. So.
When I was trying to get through there on my three-wheeler, it seemed like the big problem was under Hoffman, you know, in terms of actual bridging. The other ones were relatively mild in some wide areas that needed to get bridged, mm-hmm. well. But I was even going where Rob was with temporary docks. You know, you put something in there that meets safety requirements or ADA requirements or whatever the requirements are that we have to meet, and those are things that can get wheeled out after they were no longer needed.
Sure. Yeah. There.
And moved if it was required.
Right. And those are great ideas. A lot to think about with all those two. In particular, Hoffman Street. Something that we have to be aware of is the height underneath there. Is, you know, we can't go too high with something that's raised because otherwise there's not enough headroom, things like that. Boardwalks, our neighbors across the river have seen issues with boardwalks and what happens when they have water over them and then the water recedes, they get very slippery. So we got to be careful of, you know, type of material and the height and things like that. So great ideas, things to look at. Just need to know, be aware that there's other things that we have to think about as well.
Thank you, Chris. Nice. Meetings are important to work together on stuff like this because we're not the only ones. Same river. Future agenda items. Any items anybody would like to see on the agenda?
Well, we'll continue to have the comprehensive outdoor rec plan, obviously, and I'll keep you updated on anything that we might come up with for the East River and that flooding. So I'll keep those items, you know, as an ongoing on there as well.
Since I just brought up the meeting weirdness for November, December, because I don't have a calendar handy, but
November's meeting is the 24th, which is Tuesday before Thanksgiving, and December's meeting would be the 22nd, which is the Tuesday before Christmas.
So I know it's not really on the agenda, but I don't know about picking a date to combine, or else if people want to stick with the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. There might not be much travel if there's no spring breaking. Yeah. There might not be many travelers for Thanksgiving either. Hunters, though, maybe.
What if I threw this out for recommendation? Go on Wednesday, the week prior to each one of those months. So you'd be looking at the 18th of November and the 16th of December.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, I think that would be like a day after village board meeting, right, Rob?
board meetings are on Tuesdays.
Right, so that would be the Wednesday after.
Yeah, so yeah. After.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
yep.
true. Well, we could do the Monday.
Well, we could do the Wednesday after. I don't think there's any other meetings that take place that Wednesday. So.
Possibly historic preservation. We usually meet the fourth Wednesday of the right. month. Oh, but that wouldn't be the fourth Wednesday.
Correct.
It would be the third Wednesday.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would just take us out of the holiday week for both of those months.
Right.
Now, does the possibility exist that there won't be enough agenda items to even entertain holding the meeting for both of those months?
Yeah,
possibly. Yeah. Possibly, with the exception of just the updates that we've been working on.
I don't deer hunt, so does that November date interfere with anybody's deer hunt? I don't even know when the dates are.
It would the Wednesday would be before deer hunting starts. The following Tuesday is during deer hunting, so I don't know that I'd be available. That Tuesday,
yeah.
But
the Wednesday.
So you're saying you would not be available on the 18th?
No, I would not be available on the 24th. 18th, I would.
Okay. Well, let's go with that.
That would be the Wednesday, the week prior to our scheduled meeting.
Yes.
So it would be November 18th, and just let's leave December 16th, which would be the Wednesday before our regularly scheduled meeting, open for determination of whether or not there's enough agenda items to have it. Does that make sense?
Amenable.
Yep.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay.
And then if you can't make it, you can't make it. We won't fire you.
Do follow up to the whole committee with those adjustments.
We're getting our pay cut.
Right.
What's that, Danielle?
Would you mind following up with the whole committee on those adjustments to the schedule? Just so.
Yeah, I can send an email out. Yeah, probably tomorrow I'll do it. I'll send an email, and then that way everybody realizes, you know, what that next meeting date would be.
Okay. Any other agenda? Oh, or maybe other random things that kind of fit. Okay, I guess I will take a motion to adjourn.
Adjourn.
Second. Daniel.
Okay, all those in favor?
Who seconded that? I'm sorry.
Dan. Right, Dan? You seconded it?
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Against?
Aye, aye, aye.
Great.
Meeting adjourned at 6:35 p.m.